America, and to all of our listeners around the world, you are listening to yet another episode of Let's Weekend, the show where we have no script and bullshit doesn't matter.
Yep.
This episode is going to be for January 20th, 2017. I, of course, am always your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me is, as always, is Filippo D'Onofo, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Logie. Good day. Hi.
Hello, comrades.
I already get just physically ill hearing the date.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah.
So first, for anybody who's curious, the reason we didn't have a show last week is because Phil was feeling under the weather, and Phil is the audio wizard of our little group, and none of us can engineer this show worth a shit. So he goes down, everything goes down, is what we're trying to say.
Well, I tried to give Chris the license key for the recording thing, so
yeah,
maybe that'll help next time.
But anyway, so yeah, I guess we can't hide it. It officially began today, this morning.
Yeah.
As of 6 o'clock this morning, Donald J. Trump became the 45th president of the United States.
Yeah.
We will be talking a little bit more about that a little later on.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, guys, everybody just, you know, save your rage for a little later on. We'll also be talking about some things like the Affordable Care Act. We're going to be hearing some more about DC. We're going to have Black Adam is going to be in DC. We know who he's going to be playing it. We're also going to got a new Logan trailer, House of Cards teaser for their next season, and a bunch of other fun stuff, including my fun adventures on Reddit subreddit Ask an American.
Oh boy.
All that and more on everybody's favorite little bit of nonsense, Let's Weekend. So, just diving right on in. Phil, what have you been up to this week?
Yeah, so I've been just, you know, doing the same, mostly the same stuff as I've been doing last week. I finished Red Seas Under Red Skies. That was a good book.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't started the third book yet. I might, you know, start that tomorrow or the next day, whenever. No big rush.
So, uh-huh.
Yeah, enjoying that story and, you know, looking forward to seeing what Locke and Jean get up to in the next one. So there's going to be that. What else did I do? Well, I've been watching the Grand Tour. I'm caught up, apart from the episode that aired today. I'll watch that later on after the show. So looking forward to seeing more of that because, it's good. They did a nice two-parter last couple of weeks, and, yeah, it was a good one. Richard Hammond nearly died again
because
apparently that's the thing that happens to him.
Mm.
Yeah. So, yeah, been listening to a bunch of music because I got a bunch of records. So also picked up some stuff online that was on sale. So got the new album Lord of Misrule by Blood Ceremony, Toronto-based occult prog rock band. Imagine Black Sabbath with a female lead singer and flutes.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a lot better than it actually sounds. So, yeah, if you can check that out and go check them out because they're quite interesting to listen to. Lots of melodies, lots of really good. Yeah, it's just good stuff, especially if you're somebody that likes 70s prog rock. You're well served with these guys. And finally, I've been playing a whole heck of a lot of Diablo 3 on the Xbox One. Still, you know, just enjoying that, doing a bunch of bounties, leveling my character up, finding just ridiculous loot that probably should be illegal, but okay. Mm. I'm okay with it. Yeah. I also got a cow.
Mm.
Yeah. Now I have a cow that follows me around everywhere.
Mm.
Because Diablo.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's been my week. How about you guys?
All right, what about you, Phil? I mean, not you, Pat.
Oh, I could say I could tell you what I did just told you all over again if you want. I'm,
yeah.
I'm okay with that.
All right, Pat. What were you? What did you do?
Basically at this point, just doing whatever to keep my anger and keep it in check.
Mm-hmm.
Final Fantasy 14 is helping greatly. 3.5 is fantastic.
Mm.
Other than that, just doing a little bit of YouTube brainstorming. I think my Nintendo Switch video is going to be on hold for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I've stumbled onto a couple of other topics that may not be time sensitive necessarily, but
mm-hmm.
are more interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much the fuel that runs my entire channel, so I'm going to go with it.
Yeah.
Mm. Cool. All right. Now, what about you, Chris?
So to sort of celebrate the occasion, I decided to watch Idiocracy. And besides being very much on point for a movie that's almost 12 years old at this point.
Yeah.
It's very crude. They say fag a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it is a Mike Judge movie, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's sort of that era before people started getting away from saying that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's all about the notion that stupid people procreate much more than smart people, so stupid people begin to erode society over the years, and features the most average man in the world
mm-hmm.
who gets using this army experiment to essentially kind of freeze him, and things happen, the army base gets destroyed, and his little like frozen coffin thing gets lost in the rubble and gets awoken 500 years later to where people are much stupider than they were in his time, and he ends up being the smartest man in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the things happen that you expect to happen. He ends up, once they figure out he's the smartest man in the world, he gets immediately brought to the White House
mm-hmm.
to help them fix their problems with their crops, because they've been spraying this stuff called Brondo, which is basically Gatorade,
mm-hmm.
On their crops, because it's got what plants crave. Electrolytes.
No, actually.
I mean, because of that, their plants weren't growing, dust mm-hmm. storms, all that stuff.
Mm.
And yeah, it's like, hey, you should use water mm-hmm. from the toilets. And yeah, it's pretty funny. It's okay. It's an okay movie. It's not really amazing or anything, but
yeah,
it's definitely got a charm to it that makes it stand out.
Yeah, it's one of those movies that it's built up its reputation more from its notoriety than really its actual quality.
Yeah,
it's also really easy to tell how cheaply it was made, because there's lots of green screen scenes.
Oh yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, you can see like the edge. I guess I just looked up. It was made for about $2 to $4 million.
Well, yeah. I'm pretty sure that was like in the late '90s. So,
2006 it was released.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was in development hell for like.
Yeah.
A long
time. The box office was about $500,000.
Yeah.
Wow, that's probably the definition of a bomb.
Yeah, but it's not really his fault. It was basically I'm pretty sure it was the producers kept screwing around with it and
I don't think there
delayed
was
much
advertising or anything like
it. Yeah, and they got delayed into frickin'. I know it said it was released in 2006. I'm pretty sure the filming actually was completed like a couple years before.
Yeah.
And the original release date was August 5th, 2005. Mm. They rescheduled it for September 2006. Mm. That release date was just for 7 cities. and expanded to only 130 theaters. Not usually wide release of 600 or more.
Yeah.
So yeah, not screened for critics. All this stuff combined to people not caring at all.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, if you'd release that movie now, it would make millions.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, especially if you did on Netflix.
Yeah.
Netflix or Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
And sort of along with that, I kind of remembered that Adult Swim has a bunch of video stuff on their site, and started watching Lucy, the Daughter of the Devil, which I've mentioned before, is a really cool show from most of the people that did Home Movies. Particularly Lauren Bouchard created it, and you got Melissa and H. John Benjamin's in there, along with others. Todd Glass is in there, I think, on the episode I was watching. And just some really great stuff. It's got a claymation kind of CG style to it that just looks nice, as well as allows them to do some really stylish stuff to it. So it's a pretty cool show.
Yeah.
People should definitely check it out. I was originally trying to see if I could stream Rick and Morty somewhere, and they have like four episodes of from each of the first two seasons. Like, that's not really worth it.
No.
Especially since one of them requires me to log in with a cable subscription info. It's like, eh, fuck all this.
Yeah. They make it so hard to watch things legally. It's
And especially when it's like, oh, this one's out of circulation, so you can watch all of it. But this thing that's three seasons in, you can't watch anything to know if you should bother checking out the new stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, I think it's all on Hulu Plus. I can watch it.
Yeah.
Which I guess I could do because they're now desperate for more people to jump on, so they're offering a month for free to anybody that thinks about them again. Like, I've gotten like three emails in the past.
Please look at us.
I got three emails today from them. 219, 242, 251. Let's come back, get Hulu for 1 month free.
I think you're one away from a restraining order.
Probably.
But yeah, some good stuff there. As for games, I've been obsessing about Picross E7 on a 3DS. That's one game that came out like right in the middle of our Game of the Year stuff, so I bought it, played a little bit of it, put it down. But I've picked it back up, and I've been working my way through that. And still really good. The one thing that seemed like it might be new is that they essentially encourage you to try to solve the puzzles without any of the hints. And you get like a little metal icon on the puzzle at the end on the main menu. And so I'm trying to get through all of them like that. I'm sure there's no actual reward for that, but it's give me an the encouragement to challenge myself a little bit more.
Yeah.
Which also ends up with me getting to the end of these puzzles and we're like, fuck, I've missed something somewhere. So again, I had to like work backwards, like, okay, I fucked up here, and that just caused me to make all sorts of mistakes after that.
Yeah,
I've been playing a bunch of that. I'm just playing a lot of smaller stuff. I beat Parappa the Rapper 2 on the PS4. It's nice and silly. The whole conflict with the noodle. The guy that's, I think his name's Colonel Noodle. That is solved in the second to last song. And then the last one is sort of them getting back together, coming okay, I guess, even though he still has his noodle henchmen doing things. And then it's like a concert thing at the end. I'm like, noodles are okay, but so is everything else. Yeah, because I think the whole thing is that Colonel Noodle's dad was running a burger restaurant, so he's eating burgers for breakfast and lunch and dinner. Revolted and wanted noodles instead. And became the noodle Nazi.
Basically.
Other stuff I've been playing, Tron Runner. which is the Tron themed, not really Endless Runner because there are ends to each of these stages.
Yeah.
But it's a paid thing that's out on the consoles and Steam and all that. And it's pretty good. It's, but it definitely requires, I don't know, paying a lot of attention.
Yeah.
More so than you're used to in like an Endless Runner, as I have to essentially string together almost an endless combo from beginning to end to get the 3 stars for each level, and then I refuse to move on until I do that.
Mm-hmm.
You're a completionist. Which,
yeah. That game's pretty weird because there are not really microtransactions. It's all you get in-game currency, in-game currency, like bits.
Hmm.
And I bought the specialer edition that came with the bunch already.
Hmm.
So it's like, buy some of the power-ups. It's like, okay, double my bits and double my points. Make it a little easier to get the 3 stars. It's pretty good. It's just a weird game to get. And it has like 2 modes. One features the cycles, and the other one is with the disc, sort of just pure running and platforming, like wall running, and some other stuff there. But I was having fun with one of the trophies, which is to get less than 20,000 points in a level. Which is actually a lot tougher than it seems.
Because
every time you get one of the little bits, it starts a multiplier.
Ooh.
And so I was doing one of the cycles, so you start accidentally getting those, because with the cycles, obviously, as you're taking turns, you're sliding around. There are other rival cyclers who, obviously, their trails are barriers.
Yeah.
So you bounce off of them into bits, starts multipliers, you go through these little time extenders, and all of a sudden you've got 30,000 points. But there were times I was getting to the end with like 15,000 points and it's doing the score run up, and based on how many points and such you do, it adds more. It's like 21,000 points, like, motherfucker.
It's really hard to suck.
Yeah. But I like that kind of challenge as a sort of trophy or achievement thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sort of like Phil, I've been taking advantage of some sales. I picked up Final Fantasy 15 for $30 from Best Buy. What else? Assassin's Creed Syndicate was $8 on Best Buy. That was pretty good. And they're doing like some really crazy sales for today and tomorrow. I got Guitar Hero Live for $15.
Damn.
With the guitar. And the guitar itself is $10.
Yeah.
So if you want an extra fill, you should probably get on that, because they're clearancing the hell out of everything.
Yeah.
Because they had the starter packs for some of the Skylander stuff for $5.
Damn.
So they're saying, fuck getting rid of all of this. So they see what Nintendo's doing. They're like, we got to get all this space out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I picked up that. I decided to bulk on the guitar because I'm like, I'm not playing multiplayer.
Yeah.
That's
it's pointless. It's completely pointless.
And like, if the guitar breaks, it's like, I'm not going to be sad. Because you're not investing anything in DLC or anything like that.
Yeah. Besides, the service is probably going to be shut down in 6 months anyway.
Yeah. And what else I picked up? Pick up a Call of Duty game is $4. That's cheap enough.
Yeah.
There's some things like that. And, yeah. That's been pretty much it. How about you, Brandon?
Well, first of all, I am playing Bravely Default on 3DS.
Nice.
Yeah. For those out there who have not played Bravely Default, or Bravely Second for that matter, Bravely Default is basically imagine Final Fantasy 3 or 4 era.
Yeah.
Have a Final Fantasy, then update it with modern graphics, a more robust job system, and that's basically Bravely Default.
It's like a the JRPG gamers JRPG.
Yeah.
So it has all sorts of options to go with it for, like, do you want to double your random encounters? Do you want to have none because you're trying to screw around here?
Yeah. You can, you know, it's got music by Revo from Sound Horizon and Linked Horizon.
Yeah.
And Attack on Titan. And Sailor Moon Crystal, et cetera, et cetera. You know, like, plot-wise, it's literally old-school Final Fantasy with the four elemental crystals and all that stuff.
And you're a creepy guy that's following you around.
And, the type of job systems you can get, I mean, you got your basics, like, you know, your fighter, your mage, that type of thing. And then you got some, like, summoner, where you can actually summon monsters to attack, stuff like that. So, yeah, it's a very robust sort of old-school Final Fantasy game.
Yep.
A lot of fun. Highly recommend it.
Yeah, I remember playing the demo on that and was really confused by the job system. It's like, this is really bad for a demo to just jump in.
Yeah, the job system, there's like 27 of them.
It's like, wait.
That means they're doing it right.
And it's like, jumping in, just like, okay, I'm just going to make a character. Like, wait, what the hell am I supposed to do?
Exactly. Let's see. So, other than that, I went into Best Buy and I got and used my some of my Christmas gift cards, and I went and got the complete edition of The Witcher 3 for PS4. So, I'm back there again.
At least the good thing about that version is you don't have to worry about all of the updates.
Yeah.
There's just, like, the last couple.
Yeah, the last couple of ones that you had to download. But
yeah.
Yeah. And it also comes with both of the expansions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, on the game as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's still Witcher 3. It's still amazing.
Yeah.
You know, it's still this incredibly robust and extremely intricate, you know, action RPG that, you know, was somehow made with, like, a half of the number of people that normally go into making a Call of Duty game and somehow ends up making 10 times the content.
Yeah, that world is actually populated. It's not like your typical Ubisoft open world game that doesn't really have anything going on in the world. There's, like, all kinds of stuff going on in there.
Yeah, people actually have their own character arcs and
yeah,
all type of stuff going on. Yeah. And fights and shit can just break out randomly.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to pick that one up now that the complete version is out.
I do recommend the PS4 version because I played the Xbox One version, you know, back when it originally came out. And obviously back with the Xbox One version, I freaking loved it.
Yeah.
Like, you guys already know that because of how much I talked about it. But I'm playing, you know, the complete edition now on PS4, and I much prefer it.
Yeah, PS4 version is a little bit more solid when it comes to the technical aspects of it.
Yeah, it's a lot more smoother, because if there's one thing about the Xbox One version, it's that it did have a problem with, you know, getting the assets to all
load in when you actually needed them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's a good thing you switch platforms because the save's not compatible between the original and this version.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, so there's that. So I'm looking more to going around and slaying monsters and
getting completely consumed by Gwent again.
Yeah. And, you know, all of the illicit sex.
Yeah.
Just hookers and monster slaying.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get ass in the first 5 minutes of the game.
Yep. Oh, but also something I realized about those games that I loved, and this goes for both Witcher 1 and 2 as well. And this is really something you'll only really sort of appreciate if you've read the original source material. One of the things about the original Witcher stories, is that they were meant to be sort of a deconstruction of a lot of like old Grimm's fairy tale type stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, pretty much all the stories, you know, will take the piss out of like Sleeping Beauty or Beauty and the Beast or stuff like that.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
It's okay. All right. So, you know, and it's funny because, like, in this game, you come across, like, basically characters, like, you old fairy tale characters. Like, you come across the Trail of Treats, which, for those of you who don't know, that's the thing that lured Hansel and Gretel to the witch's house, which is actually where the Trail of Treats actually takes you.
Mm-hmm.
You also run into stuff like, into creatures like Baba Yaga, who, if you know anybody who is of Slavic origin, they can tell you all about her. Yeah. Stuff like that. It's those little touches. That's just a lot of fun.
Hmm.
You know? And also, especially if you get to read, like, the source material, it gets a lot more elaborate. Like, Yennefer, for example. They never tell you this in the game, of course, but Yennefer eventually becomes the Lady of the Lake in Arthurian legend. She's the one who ends up giving Excalibur to King, not Excalibur, but ends up,
she did do that, so.
Yeah, she gave, you know.
Hmm.
Of course, you know, let's be honest, that's just not, no way to form, to run a government, just.
No, that doesn't really work, but.
If some moist bent hurled a scimitar at me, they'd put me away. Help, help, I'm being repressed. Okay, oh yeah, and, for music, oh yeah. Group I recently discovered that I just freaking fell all over for. So, how many of you guys have ever heard of a death metal band called Edge of Sanity?
I have.
Yeah. Okay. Do you know who Dan Swano is? He's the, Dan Swano was originally the lead singer for Edge of Sanity. Mm-hmm. And also a sort of multi-instrumentalist. In fact, the last album they released, it was literally basically all him. Yes, he was a singer, but he basically played every single instrument as well. Well, Nightingale is basically his sort of AOR type band, where he's the, you know, guitar player, the keyboard player, and the lead singer, and he's the, and it's clean vocals. It's not,
yeah,
you know, death growling, which, for the record, he is probably one of the best of the death growlers, mostly because he's one of only a handful where you can actually understand them.
Yeah.
Because I'm convinced that for most death metal bands, the dude just sort of randomly grunts, and then they just come up with lyrics afterwards that kind of sort of
sound like what he
sound did. Yeah. So basically what it is Nightingale is him. It's a quartet. And I put up, you know, on my Twitter, you know, I've got, and my Facebook and stuff, I've got a link to it, and song called Nightfall Overture, which is probably the best introduction to them that you can get, because it's dark and heavy and melodic, and God, it's so good.
I will be listening to this and then probably buying the album.
So. Yeah. Well, actually, Nightfall Overture isn't a bad one, because other than a couple of originals, it's also some re-recorded versions of some older material as well. So it's more in line with his more modern sound.
Yeah.
And that also includes Edge of Sanity stuff as well.
Hmm.
So, yeah, definitely recommend it. And I do believe that was all of it.
Cool.
Has anybody else got anything else they wanted to add?
Well, I just wanted to give a quick recommendation for Uprooted by Naomi Novik. You were talking about Slavic myths and Baba Yaga.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's that plays a big part in that book. And I recommend, yeah, if you can find it at your local library, pick up a copy, read it. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty then. Wonderful. Okay, so once again, I guess it is a time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. Oh, aren't we all ready? Okay.
Yay.
So, I mentioned earlier, while we were talking about The Witcher, I'd brought up Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
Now, Beauty and the Beast is a fairly well-known fairy tale. And, you know, it's sort of, it has its origins in France, and it sort of made its way around the world. It is actually not one of the Grimm's fairy tales, despite what some people think. Grimm's fairy tales, of course, you know, includes, you know, Little Red Riding Hood, Snow White, etc., etc.
Yeah.
It is actually the origin of a French woman named Madame d'Aulny, who wrote it as a novel in the mid-1700s. And here's the part that really amazes a lot of people. It's actually inspired by a true story.
Okay.
I'm not making this up. So, you're probably wondering, okay, so Beauty and the Beast, based on a true story. So then, what story exactly? Who exactly is it inspired by? You know, who was the beauty? Who was the beast? Well, as it turns out, there are two individuals that it's based upon. The beauty of the title was a woman named Lady Catherine, who was a Spanish prince, was a small Spanish prince in Tenerife, which is a, let's see, it's originally from one of the places that's in the Canary Islands.
Okay.
So, you know, which, and you're probably thinking, well, then who's the beast? And, you know, did he really look like, well, am I, you know, like that? Well, I'm going to show you. His name was Petrus Gonzalez, and this is what he looked like.
Oh, that's a really ugly dude.
Yeah. So, if you're wondering, and you're looking at that face, and we should probably put that link in the show notes, but if you're looking at that and thinking, well, who the heck is that, and why does he look like that? Well, Petrus Gonzalez had a condition known as hypertrochnosis. It's also known as Ambrose syndrome. It's essentially a condition that causes an abnormal amount of hair growth all over the body. Normally, people, you know, the majority of their hair, it'll grow, you know, especially if you're a man, it'll be top of the head, you know, under the arms, pubic area, maybe the back. Hypertrichosis or Ambrose system actually causes a extreme hair growth pretty much over every ounce of the body, especially the face. So much so that it basically turns you into, well, basically how a lot of people picture Wolfman. And for the record, this particular condition is still around. There are still people around the world who are affected by it. In fact, in Mexico, there's a whole family theater troupe made up of young men with this particular condition.
Mm-hmm.
As for Petrus Gonzalez himself, he first came to the court of Henry II in France in 1547, and then eventually was sent to the court of Margaret of Parma, who was at the time the regent of the Netherlands. That's when he met up with the Lady Catherine, and he married her. Eventually, he went and was at the court of to the Duke of Parma, which was Alexander Farnese. And he and Catherine had seven children.
Clearly, clearly Lady Catherine was not a very petty woman.
No. Or she was just really into furries. Who knows? Four of his seven children ended up having the same condition that he had. There are, in fact, portraits of them. If you look around and find them, in fact, more than likely, there are a bunch of old school portraits. If you've played, by the way, who here has played Layers of Fear?
Nope.
Okay, yeah. Well, in Layers of Fear, you know, paintings of people with this condition show up, and pretty much all of them are members of this man's family.
Okay.
He was originally eventually painted by the famous painting, the painting I showed you. I can't find what the name of is the person who painted it, but it was actually the same individual who painted that famous portrait of Vlad Tepes.
Hmm.
You know, Paler.
Yeah.
And they actually keep the same portraits together in the Chamber of Arts and Curiosities at Ambrus Castle.
Hmm.
So yeah, Beauty and the Beast was actually inspired by an actual honest to God true story. And yeah, apparently Lady Catherine, for whatever reason, looked at this guy and saw something that others didn't.
Yeah.
And apparently liked him enough that she produced 7 children by him.
Yeah.
So,
cool.
Yeah. Of course, unlike in the original story, Pedro didn't actually go back to just being a normal person.
No.
No, he was like that forever.
Yeah.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid. All right. And now who's ready to see that new Disney version to come out soon?
Oh, dear.
Yeah, the live-action one.
Yeah. Well, you know, they've been doing pretty good with their live-action stuff, so...
Well, they did the Jungle Book one, and it did really well, so...
Yeah, so...
All right, so... With that out of the way, it's now time to start with our asshole of the week. And once again... Obviously, we had a couple of weeks to go with this.
Yeah, this persisted for 2 weeks because it was so much of an asshole.
Yeah, because it was just so goddamn infuriating. and you're going to find out why, too, when we explain it. Because, yeah, for one thing, this is specifically related to Phil's country. So... Last week, there was a bill that went before Congress that was co-sponsored by Bernie Sanders, and it was called the, let's see if I can remember what the proper term of it was. Well, I can't remember what the proper term was. It was the something Sanders Amendment, and, no, I think it was the Cloud Booker Sanders Amendment, I think is what it was called. And basically the idea was it would allow people to import cheaper drugs from Canada, Bill's country. And the thing is, as everybody knows, drugs down here, and when we're talking about drugs, of course, we're talking pharmaceuticals. And down here in the U.S., they can be prohibitively expensive. Some of them, and I'm not talking about just like Tylenol or anything, I'm talking like the life-saving shit. But the thing is, you know, a lot of these originally they'll get manufactured here in the U.S. and then they'll eventually make their way up into Canada. And I'm not exactly sure how the pricing and stuff like that goes on in Canada, but at the end of it, eventually the ones in Canada are much cheaper. And the idea is that this bill would have allowed people to then turn around and basically re-import these same drugs at Canadian prices.
Yeah.
So, like, for example, some of these drugs may be like... $200-something a bottle. You could get it out and over in Canada it'd be something like $12 or $20 a bottle.
Yeah. It's a big difference.
Yeah. And what's actually surprising is this was actually a pretty, as far as popularity goes, it was actually pretty bipartisan as far as popularity goes. Everyone from like Ted Cruz to let's see, who else?
John McCain.
John McCain. Senator Murkowski from Arkansas, Senator Boozman from Arizona. Really just a, you know, it was, these are people who you normally do not
they normally don't agree with each other.
Yeah, but this was all of them. They were like, yeah, we totally should. You know, I have elderly family members and they need this shit.
And so those guys are the elderly family members.
And so the vote was cast and it ended up losing 46-52. So that was yays 46, nays 52. And our assholes of the week are the 13 Democrats who voted against this bill.
Fitting.
Yeah. Also, yep. Probably fair to say the 13 Democrats that were paid for by Big Pharma.
Oh, yeah. Probably the one that is most infamous of this group, of course, is Cory Booker. So we've got this article linked from Jezebel, and they explain it. So Senator Booker in particular has received a total of $267,338 from in donations from pharmaceutical companies. Others, such as Senator Patty Murray, received $254,649. Robert Casey received $250,730. And Michael Bennett, who is from the state of Colorado, has gotten $222,000. How much you want to believe that this affected which way they were going to vote?
Oh, I'm pretty sure I had nothing to do with it whatsoever. I can't even say that with a straight face.
Yeah, and oh yeah, and oh, it gets much worse too, because Cory Booker actually, because this is very much a naked example of corruption. When you can have Senator Bernie Sanders and Senator Ted freaking Cruz agree on the same amendment.
Yeah,
that should be a sign that, yeah, this is probably the right way to go. Yeah. But Cory Booker, he basically, when people asked him about it, he basically gave the standard sort of pharma, Big Pharma, you know, response, which is that, well, I want people to be able to bring them in, but I'm afraid about, you know, what type of, you know, would it be, you know, stuff come across back across the border would be, you know, contaminated, or what's going to be inside of it. Bitch, Canada's, you know, Canada's inspection stuff is a lot more stringent than ours is.
Yeah.
You really think there's that big of a risk?
Nope. But, hey, money talks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I pretty much gave him an earful on Facebook, too. And on Twitter. Yeah, sure. He, as I should have.
I saw that. That was great.
I hope the bastard chokes. Because, this is going to kill people. I want people to understand that. People are going to die because of this.
Yeah.
That's the thing I've been saying for a while now, is we live in a day and age where a vote, a piece of legislation, legal papers can be just as deadly a weapon as a gun or a knife.
Yeah. And it really should not be this big of a issue. Again, like I said, this is going in through Canada, which has one of the most stringent drug inspections in North America, I mean, we're comparing us and Mexico, so, and, you know, and that's going back across the border, and you're really that afraid of it? And second of all of these drugs were originally made by us.
Yeah.
So, these are our drugs. We're actually re-importing our own shit.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't expect Cory Booker to win re-election. I don't know about you.
No.
And in fact, considering how the Affordable Care Act shit is going right now, I don't expect a lot of these senators to be reelected in 2 years. Once ACA is repealed and they take too long to put an alternative or a replacement in there, a good chunk of those guys are fucked.
Yeah.
So
speaking of legal papers and votes being tantamount to weapons.
Yeah. So that was our asshole of the week, but now we've got our hero of the week, and it's something that after 7 long years, I'm so happy to finally say. Chelsea Manning is getting out.
Yep.
She will be released on May 7th of this year.
Yeah.
She has been pretty much entirely in solitary confinement for the better part of 7 years in a military prison. Now, do I need to remind people what it is that she was sent to prison for in the first place?
Whistleblowing?
Yeah. Huh? She was a whistleblower. She, basically leaked all the documents to WikiLeaks initially.
Yeah. So. Including some footage.
Yeah, some footage that ruffled quite a few feathers.
Because basically it showed that people in our armed forces were basically killing innocents with drone strikes and joking about it.
Hmm.
Like, very callously.
Yeah.
They would, in fact, they did something that is actually legal, which is called double tapping, which is, you know, shooting at a specific section and then waiting for the medical crews to show up and then shooting again. Just an asshole thing to do.
Yeah.
And by the record, for the way, the people that in that footage that they were shooting were journalists.
Yeah.
And then the medical folks showed up and they started shooting again because they're assholes.
Yeah.
And here's the thing that, first of all, I want people to understand. Chelsea Manning was never convicted of treason. I want people to understand that. No matter what you may think her actions or entail, she was not convicted of treason. That is not what she was convicted under. She was convicted of a government leak. And up until recently,
the definition of treason is very specific.
Yeah. It's giving aid and comfort to the enemies of the U.S. She did not do that. Unless you consider Julian Assange to be, you know,
talk about that later.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you can put the jury out on that.
Yeah. But instead, she was convicted under a law about leaking classified info,
yeah,
which up until recently, the average sentence was around 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, she got 35.
Yeah, because they wanted to, there were certain individuals that wanted to make an example of her. But as Barack Obama in the last 2 weeks of in office, he did a whole shit tons of pardons and commutations, and it was originally the news was released when he told her folks that Manning was actually on his short list. And then a couple days later it was released that yeah, she's going to be getting out in May.
Yeah.
For the record, he had no interest in pardoning Edward Snowden.
Yeah.
So
he more or less said fuck Snowden in the same comments.
Yeah.
Like when talking about Manning's release.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's good. She'll be getting out May 7th, 2017. Gonna be big news all over the world. I know it is.
Yeah.
Except
I don't really know how much of a favor Barack Obama actually did her.
Well, the best thing,
valid.
That is valid. In truth, I would have preferred a full pardon, but that's not actually what's happened here. Instead, what he's done is he's just commuted her sentence for time served.
Yeah, commuted her sentence for time served. She'll be getting out in May, but she goes through the transition into the Trump administration.
Yeah. Now, for the record, and it should be pointed out, this is ironclad. Donald Trump can't hamper this in any way possible. You know, legally, there is nothing he can do about it. She is going to get out on May 7th, and he can't stop it.
No.
Now, part of the reason that Obama chose Manning over Snowden was because Manning basically owned up to the actions she took and basically admitted guilt and said she was completely fine with going to jail if she had to.
Hmm.
And so, whereas Snowden, of course, he fled to Russia.
Hmm.
So,
not a popular place to be right now either.
Nope. Nope. So instead, Manning actually turned himself in.
Yeah. No. And yeah, you might be confused as to why we're we're using both genders, because, well, initially when he went in, he was Bradley Manning, and during his prison stay, he had the change to Chelsea.
Yeah.
So, should point that out.
Yeah, I just need to point that out.
It's an all-male prison.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she's been in solitary for most of it.
Yeah.
So, but that doesn't make it any better because this is a military prison we're talking about.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that shit
sucks.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that's our hero of the week. She's going to be out in, let's see, it's January now. About 5 months.
Yeah.
So. A lot of folks all over the world are going to be anticipating that.
Yeah.
All right. So, moving on from that, as I already mentioned earlier, they've already started the first step of dismantling the Affordable Care Act. Last week, a while ago, Congress voted on a budget blueprint that would allow them, that amongst other things, would allow them to start defunding and slowly dismantling Obamacare piece by piece.
Hmm.
I should keep in mind, and I want everybody who's listening to keep in mind, there is about 20 million Americans who have insurance through the Affordable Care Act. Hmm. And for a lot of those people, it's the only insurance they can afford.
Yeah.
And
especially
we have
for those on cancer.
Yeah. And that's particularly relevant because of what we've got linked here.
Hmm.
So, back a little while ago, Paul Ryan did a town hall on CNN.
Yeah.
And one of the people that stood up to ask him questions was, what was his name? I can't remember what his name was. Jeff Jeans. That's his name. Jeff Jeans. That's his name. Okay. Back in the day, he was a campaign worker for both Ronald Reagan and Bush Sr. during their presidential campaigns. He worked on both of them. He was a hardcore conservative. And he said that he was super duper against the Affordable Care Act. He said, there's no way we're going to work with this. Screw this. And then his doctor gave him, I think he said it was like 7 or 8 weeks to live through a very aggressive but very curable cancer.
Yeah.
And because of the Affordable Care Act, he was able to afford treatment and he now stands alive today.
Yeah.
And he basically did everything you could do to politely say, to tell Paul Ryan, fuck you.
Yeah, basically said if it wasn't for Obama, he would not be there.
Yeah.
Yep. And I'm going to guess from the sound of his voice that this was throat cancer he suffered from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because you can tell he's sort of struggling to speak.
Yeah.
But yeah, and there's a lot about this whole thing to pick apart, but I can say with very, very one of the biggest things here was that the Republicans still have not offered an alternative.
Hmm.
Paul Ryan says that they're working on one. There isn't one.
And in the meanwhile, they have to dismantle this
mm-hmm.
with no viable plan to replace it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For these people.
They've had
Which is tantamount to attempted mass murder.
Yeah. Because again, like I said, there are 20 million some odd Americans who have insurance through the Affordable Care Act, and for most of those people, that's all they can afford.
Mm.
Yeah, people are going to die.
Yeah.
Unless they put a, you know, an actual alternative there.
Yeah, the last 2 weeks have basically been the GOP announcing all of their evil plans.
Yeah. I've had some folks, you know, some of my Facebook friends, you know, basically announcing that, yep, it's already started. Some of their relatives have been informed that they've basically been kicked off their insurance plans. So it's already begun. And I, like I said earlier, I really expect that once the Affordable Care Act actually is completely repealed, there is going to be heat big buyer's remorse.
Especially when it already is.
Hmm.
Yeah, especially with the notion that a lot of people haven't put two and two together and realized Obamacare is the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, that was the other damn thing.
There's a sudden awakening to that fact, and a whole lot of people who voted for Trump realizing they got screwed.
Yeah.
Or they played themselves, really.
Hmm.
Yeah, and God, that in particular blew me away. Like, there really were that many people who did not realize that Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act were the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel did a little man on the street thing.
Yeah.
Talking to people about the difference, if people know the difference, and revealed to one of the women, like, what if I told you that both of them were the same thing?
Yeah.
She just smiles and shrugs her shoulders like, I don't know.
And now here's the thing. I just want to point out, it's probably very obvious that, you know, of course they cherry picked a lot of those, but it shouldn't even be that damn close.
No.
Yeah.
And just all of a sudden it's, golly, I hate making straw men. You know, I hate to think that there are really that many Americans who are that goddamn stupid, but
see it.
I would say the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah. So yeah,
if there weren't, then you wouldn't have this result.
Yeah.
Now, up until a couple days ago, especially a couple days ago, Donald Trump was basically talking about how he wanted to create something like a single-payer healthcare system, which, if he actually goes through with, I'm all for.
Yeah.
But I wonder how many of his supporters actually realize that. And how much...
Couldn't they have actually worked to adjust the Affordable Care Act to accommodate that sort of thing?
Well, actually, all they really would have to do is just expand Medicare coverage to everyone.
Hmm.
It's actually that simple.
Yeah. And they wouldn't really have to... I don't think they would care about the cost of it or anything as far as they're concerned. They would spell it like they beat the Obama plan and came up with something better.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's how they'd sell it.
Yeah.
And just for those who don't know... Medicare here in the U.S. is basically the closest thing we've got to any kind of universal health care. Basically, when you turn 65, you can basically start using Medicare. And it's basically it's not like, you know, like they have in Canada where, you know, you've got your card and you go to the hospital and they scan the card and voila, it's over. Mm-hmm. It's more like a subsidies and voucher program.
Yeah.
Because of course it goddamn is. And really, all they'd really have to do is just find a way to expand that to basically every American citizen. It'd be that easy.
Yeah.
Because I think I want to make clear, something like an NHS would work with Canada, with like the UK, considering the fact that their country is about the size of the state of Alabama. Here in a country the size of the U.S., it would probably have to be something along the lines of basically what Canada has, which is, you know, the basics covered by the state, and then partnership with all the private specialist stuff.
Yeah.
That would make sense. And everybody's like, you know, obviously we could very easily have that. I mean, Canada's economy is nowhere near our GDP, and yet they've had a well-working universal health care system for well over half a century.
Yeah.
Well, they don't piss away $500 billion a year blowing shit up either.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, we give them most of that, actually, now that I think about it. About 70% of their military stuff is actually us. But, if the GOP is smart, and honestly, I don't think they are, they better start coming up with a good alternative. And unless it's, you know, actually something viable and not just a mess of bullshit, I don't expect a lot of these GOP to be reelected in the next couple years.
Nope. Yeah, especially with some of the budget cuts they're proposing for various departments.
Yeah.
Like shutting down the National Endowment for the Arts, which counts for 0.02% of the budget. The inauguration event costs more than what that gets in a year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like $200 million to $140 something million. We've got to cut that one out.
And look at the turnout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That, okay, look, for the record, I'm not necessarily sure it's fair to compare the number of people at Trump's inauguration to the people that showed up at Obama's, considering that Obama's inauguration was actually historic.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure there was a lot of folks from all over the world who showed up for that one.
Hmm.
Well, Trump claims his thing is historic.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not.
Hmm.
Yeah. By the way, funny thing, if you're on Facebook or Twitter or whatever and you see that comparison photo between the two, remember that the one that you're seeing with the Obama one is way in the back. You'll notice, like, the area for the Trump one is much closer to the stage.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think there's another one that's came out a little bit while later that's better aerial shots.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the National Park Service Twitter account retweeted one.
Yeah.
And the Trump administration had them stop tweeting.
Yeah.
Completely. So, if you wonder what kind of bullshit we're in for.
So, furthermore, speaking of government bullshit, the state of Indiana, which, for the record, that was Mike Pence's state, he was governor of that state, has been proposing new bills, among some other states, to allow for violence against protesters. And some of them would be comical if they weren't so goddamn terrifying.
Yeah, the Indiana one specifically says, any means necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen what they've been doing when they don't have that ability.
Yeah. Already.
Shooting at people.
Yeah.
So, what we're in for.
Yeah, so Senator Jim Tomes, I guess is the dude's name. This is what he says. I don't care if the folks want to be 10 deep on the sidewalks. I want the streets opened up. This idea of spontaneous getting out in the streets and bringing things to a grinding halt, that just doesn't cut it. What do you think the March on Selma was?
This is what happens when you have morons in your government.
Yeah. Critics say the bill raises, quote, serious constitutional questions, no shit, that likely impinge on First Amendment rights, and they say it could be used to justify brutal tactics similar to those used on black civil rights activists in the 1960s. Gosh, you think?
Yeah.
Let's see. People get off track and get off on sidebars on this. It's just to get the streets opened up for traffic flow, for emergency personnel, for commerce. That's all.
Yeah,
and there was another quote on here. if I remember, it's something along the lines of sometimes people are driving through that and they accidentally hit the gas instead of the clutch. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, and they're not the only state doing it.
Nope.
I'm looking at another articles pointing out five other states have bills that are they're working on. North Dakota. Might remember what they've been doing recently as far as protesters.
Oh, yeah.
This one's would allow them to run over and kill protesters and get away with it, as long as they say they did it accidentally. Minnesota, a bill introduced by Republicans last week, seeks to dramatically stiffen fines for freeway protests, allow prosecutors to seek a full year of jail time for blocking a highway. Republicans in Washington state proposed a plan to reclassify as a felony civil disobedience protests that are deemed economic terrorism. Republicans in Michigan introduced and then last month shelved an anti-picketing law. Increased penalties against protesters, make it easier for businesses to sue individual protesters for their actions. And in Iowa, a Republican lawmaker has pledged to introduce legislation to crack down on highway protests. Notice the trend?
Yeah.
Be afraid.
Republicans.
Be very afraid.
Yeah. The only good thing is that all of this stuff is coming out. So yeah, you can't get away
Yeah.
with this kind of crap anymore. People will find out.
No, but they're sure as hell gonna try.
Oh yeah, they're always gonna try.
Just be, yeah, you notice amongst those that Georgia was not one of the states proposing it. And I can tell you why. Because if they did try to, the city of Atlanta would cease to exist within 48 hours. We would all just get up and burn that fucker down to the ground. Yeah, so moving on from that, we've got yet another bit of assholery.
This is
So,
the extended asshole segment.
yeah,
Yeah, there's several
unfortunately, considering
candidates
that,
that kind of had to be.
yeah, so who here is familiar with a gentleman by the name of Sheriff David Clark? Now we've got a handful of infamous sheriffs here in the U.S. Of course, probably the most infamous is, of course, Sheriff Joe
Jarpio.
Arpaio of Maricopa County, which, by the way, he's not sheriff anymore. He lost his election.
Yay.
But the other one is this absolute fucking lunatic from Milwaukee named David Clark, who I should emphasize is a black man. For those of you who don't know, I think it was either earlier this week or it was last week. He encountered somebody on a plane that he was on. Somebody asked who he was. Because he didn't recognize him because David Clark is known for this sort of this trademark cowboy hat that he wears all over the place. And at this point, he wasn't wearing it. And so he says, "Are you David Clark?" He's like, "Yes, I am." And the dude just kind of shook his head, and he wasn't very fond of the dude. And so when the plane landed, David Clark ordered the local cops to basically detain the dude once he got off the plane. Now the dude was released. I mean, he wasn't detained for very long. And then he made a big stink about it because, of course, he should. This is petty shit we're getting from a sheriff. And eventually he talked about it, and then, oh, for fuck's sake, on the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office Facebook page, they posted a nice little meme that had a picture of the gentleman who accused him of his abuse of power, picture of it, and it said, "Cheer up, Snowflake. If Sheriff Clark were to really mess with you, he wouldn't be around or whine about it."
Yeah, the actual image says, if he were to really harass you.
Classy.
Yeah. The post
Isn't
also.
that a, isn't that called making terroristic threats?
Yeah, it is. And furthermore, it goes on to say, Sheriff Clark regrets that he cannot attend the juvenile leftist post-anti-cop tantrum. He is pleased that he has their attention, however. The sheriff is in Washington to witness the swearing-in of our next president, Donald J. Trump, as we embark on a mission to make America great again. Hmm. By the way, did I mention that this dude was actually on the short list for Trump's attorney general?
Yeah, I guess this post also says Fox 6 continues to be snookered into fake news. Milwaukee deserves better.
Yeah.
I guess they also said next time he or anyone else pulls this stunt on a plane, they may get knocked out. The sheriff said he does not have to wait for some goof to assault him. He reserves the reasonable right to preempt a possible assault.
This was not a goddamn assault. This was a dude...
He shook his
saying
head
things that hurt your feelings.
It was emotional assault.
So you wonder who the real snowflake is there?
Yeah.
God, this. How did dickheads like that make their way into power?
It's me.
Force, usually.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I mean, this dude's a sheriff, so he had to be elected.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot to mention. You know what else Sheriff Clark is infamous for? Mm-hmm. He let a pregnant lady and her child die in one of his cells.
Oh.
Why? He wouldn't give them water or food. They basically starved to death.
Yeah.
And he's not rotting in prison, why?
Hmm.
Same reason Joe Arpaio, is it?
Hmm.
I want to say he was up for a cabinet position with Trump.
I did. At some point. I mentioned earlier he was on the fast. Yeah. He was on the short list for attorney general.
Yeah.
So is Arpaio, by the way.
we'll see how all of that shakes out.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, moving on from there. In England, they got this show called Urban Myths. And actually, who was it that put this one up? Because you're going to have to explain this one a bit.
Yeah, so I guess they have this show. It's a bit of a comedy called Urban Myths that is... this kind of makes episodes based on, I guess, urban myths.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly. And this was about an urban myth that had Michael Jackson, Marlon Brando, and Elizabeth Taylor just going on a road trip for, I forget what reason. I'm not sure if it's mentioned here. And so they wanted to do an episode on this. No real... confirmation that this ever happened, but the actor they picked to play Michael Jackson, Joseph Fiennes, I've never heard of him, but if you click on the article you can see a picture of him in the YouTube thumbnail.
Yeah,
and it's not great. They're depicting him in his white form. And as you can expect, the immediate Jackson family was not happy at all.
Nope.
To be seeing any of this.
Mm-mm.
I believe his daughter Paris said it makes her want to vomit.
Yeah.
And enough people complain about this just because it's very tacky and not very respectful to Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And all that to be doing this. Especially to portraying him in that light. And eventually they decided to just pull the episode all together.
Yep.
So all we had is this trailer that just doesn't look very good to begin with.
Yeah. So the question, I guess the debate is, was this a instance of, this is British, so it's the BBC, right?
I'm not sure what Sky TV.
Yeah, it's
Sky TV. Okay, so I guess the debate would be, is this Sky TV, you know, taking it because of the wishes of the Jackson family, or was it, you know, because some people online thought it was them giving in to political correctness? Because Michael Jackson was African American, even though he didn't quite look like it towards the end. I can definitely see where that particular line can get iffy.
Yeah.
But then again, I also remember people that, you know, back in the 80s, Corey Feldman was doing his Michael Jackson impression where anyone could see it. Yeah. So,
yeah, I guess they have a quote here from Fiennes sort of about his reaction to being cast. And he's like, "You have to ask them as to why they would want to cast me." So he didn't really seem to understand particularly why he was picked.
Yeah. It doesn't really make much sense, does it?
Man, this is just clueless producers, basically. It's just, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
and then the network having to go, oh, crap.
Yeah. So, in other entertainment news, turns out that Dwayne The Rock Johnson, everybody's favorite wrestler turned actor, who is actually not that bad.
Yeah, he's good.
Will be playing, starring in movie as Black Adam. Now, those of you who should I explain who Black Adam is for those who are not DC comic fans?
Yeah, a little short.
Probably wouldn't be a bad idea.
Yeah.
Okay, so Black Adam is one of Shazam, aka Captain Marvel's. He's on his rogues gallery.
Yeah.
Basically, he's one of the other dudes who has the, God, what do they call it? He has the, it basically much like, I forget what like the proper term is for, but much like Shazam, he has the ability to take on the, you know, magic powers by saying the magic word, which is Shazam. And the thing is that he's basically Billy Batson. He's who is Captain Marvel. His primary enemy, or one of his primary enemies. And it's actually it's DC. They're trying to get back into the movie game again, even after they had two rather notorious
slops.
Batman, yeah. Superman, and Suicide Squad. Well, yeah, that's probably
about it. Yeah, it took a squad on Suicide Squad, so yeah.
Yeah, this one's being demoted down to New Line.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Never a good sign.
Yeah, I guess they were originally trying to do just a Shazam movie. But upon getting The Rock on board, it said, well, fuck, we can't just have him be the villain for this movie, like, as a supporting actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they said, we're going to give Black Adam his own movie.
Yeah. And he was also one of the dudes you could play in Injustice.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which
is where a lot of our listeners might know him from.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, he is a douche in that game.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right, so...
from DC to Marvel.
Yeah, and other comic book movie news. The new trailer for Logan, basically it's going to be the last installment of that franchise where Hugh Jackman will be playing Wolverine and Patrick Stewart will be playing Professor Xavier.
And
the plot for this seems pretty cool. As obviously it's old man Logan.
Yep.
Who is sort of just tired of being Wolverine. Just kind of wants to rest and relax for the rest of his days, particularly with Xavier, who is 90, I think they're saying in the trailer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's basically having stroke seizures, I think. Mm-hmm. Which, when you have the mental abilities he has, cause some serious damage.
Yeah.
To the people around him. So, I saw it described that he is essentially living in like a big storage container with holes in it so that any damage that he can do is minimized as much as possible.
Yeah.
And so Logan is aiming to just get them a boat so they can just go sailing for the rest of their days.
Yep.
But along the way, Xavier tells him he has sensed a new mutant, which I think at this point, I guess, there aren't really any more mutants left.
Yeah.
And so they find this mutant named Laura, who is kind of Wolverine Jr.
Mm. Yep.
X-23. Yeah, she has claws, though just two on each hand. And she fucking kills people.
Oh, yeah.
They show, like, her first encounter with these, like, mercenaries that are coming after her, and they send in one, and she comes walking out with this head.
Yep. Yeah.
I guess this movie is planned to just be R.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just do that the whole way. Yeah. So even in the, they show the,
no fucks given.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have the regular trailer up top, but below they have the UK trailer where at the end you see Patrick Stewart drop an F-bomb.
Yeah.
Talking about being with a fucking 11-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Just killing people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the trailer just looks really good.
I like this.
Yeah. I would not be surprised if Logan ends up dying at the end of this. Which, you know, would go in with Marvel continuity because, you know, Logan is actually dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. This version of the character is actually on the team right now.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah, there's
and X-23
showing...
has become Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had people in to watch the first act of the movie, like 40 minutes or so, and talking about how his regeneration is much slower, just the process of getting his claws out is much slower.
Yeah,
is actually painful to him. And meanwhile, you got the little girl who just leaping all over the place,
it's
fast and precise, while he's slow and lumbering.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's a pretty cool take. And a cool way to potentially send off these characters.
Yeah.
Look forward to
seeing that. So yeah, that's awesome. So once again, in more comic book movie news, there's going to be a standalone Spider-Man animated film that is none other than Miles Morales. And for those of you who don't know who Miles Morales is, he is the Spider who took over for Peter Parker in the Ultimate Marvel continuity.
Yeah.
The reason this is a big deal is because Miles Morales is actually a Hispanic of Hispanic African American descent.
Yeah.
Like even his, you know, even his costume is different. Yeah. It's
awesome.
It's actually
we'll just say
pretty,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously this is pretty awesome. I mean,
yeah,
I'm glad it is. Marvel, as far as moving into the at least the animated space, is they're starting to embrace their newer characters.
Yeah.
Though this isn't going to be part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
No.
That's why it's standalone.
It should be.
Yeah.
Well, it can't be because, you know, Peter Parker is still alive, is still around in that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Marvel's not going to move on from their white Spider-Man anytime soon.
Yeah.
No.
Because they keep just rebooting it right in the same character.
No.
And they could give him a different origin story or even stick with the same one and plant him in the MCU.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, figure it out.
But it's pretty cool.
You know they're eventually going to get around to the whole clone thing, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, the clone saga. Oh. Yeah, that is a...
I can't be too mad about that. I do like Ben as a character.
Yeah.
So
you have to understand though that particular area of the Spider-Man canon sort of came out around a time when American comics were going through in a really weird place.
Yeah.
It was basically the tail end of the Dark Age and you know the Sheen had finally started coming off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so just American comics in general were kind of in a death spiral for a while. Remember, Marvel actually had to file for bankruptcy in, I think, 98?
Yeah.
So, yeah,
there were some interesting things going on around that time, but they weren't big enough to save the company.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you know, obviously Marvel eventually bounced back, and now they're probably more famous than popular than they've ever been.
Yeah, they're really...
Disney will do that for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That and, you know, they're pretty much the most profitable film series up there with, you know, James Bond and Star Wars. Yeah. So,
and also taking shots on, like, out there franchises.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Miles Morales getting his own movie. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. Yep. So...
Yeah, it's nice to see some variety from Sony's Spider-Man stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just rebooting the same movies over and over again.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So, in other entertainment news, House of Cards, one of the best shows on television.
Yep. Even though it's not on television.
Yeah, technically it's not on television, but we still call it television.
Yeah.
It recently got its teaser for its next upcoming season, and,
just watch it.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't make you want to watch the whole series, well, you're dead inside.
Yeah, pretty much.
And of course the comments are as you expect.
Oh, yeah.
It's Twitter.
Comment section is going to be comment section.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do love the use of the upside down flag motif.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, when you fly the flag upside down, it's basically the international sign of distress.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, a lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah. So, apparently the producers of House of Cards do.
Kevin Spacey. Yeah, their avatar is the upside down American flag.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like that, you know, and there's a reason why. It's because of Kevin Spacey's character. Yeah. He is basically the embodiment of all the worst aspects of American politicians in one person.
Yep.
I am increasingly convinced in the House of Cards canon that he is the Antichrist.
That wouldn't surprise me in the least.
Speaking of potential antichrists, as of this morning, 6 a.m., as I mentioned earlier, Donald J. Trump officially became the 45th president of the United States.
Yep.
It's no longer, you know, a win. It's no longer something we can talk about as happening in the future or as a possibility. It is a reality.
Yep.
It actually happened. We all woke up this morning, and we got a big old heaping dose of reality right all over our faces.
Yeah, Facebook was just impossible today.
Yeah.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, there was about 200 buses that were brought in for people to attend the inauguration. You know how many there were for protesters?
Quite a few more.
Around 1,200. And those protests got pretty intense.
Yeah.
As they should.
Yeah.
Of course, you got your asshole criminals that want to take advantage of large groups.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's speculation about that.
Yeah. The thing you
always,
have to...
There's always a few in there that'll just go there and start trouble.
Well, you have to remember that agent provocateurs are a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And they got caught in the act.
Yeah. The whole thing about groups trying to take advantage of... First of all, you need to understand, for the record, although I do not necessarily approve of protest violence, I certainly don't condemn it either, especially when it concerns what we're up against now. So, you know, yeah, they broke a few windows on a limousine. I don't fucking care.
Yeah, whatever.
Some windows got busted. rocks got thrown at the cops.
We do more damage than that when a hockey team wins a Stanley Cup.
Just ask any cop on the beat in London. Mm. They think the other just like, oh, ain't you cute? With you getting rocks thrown at you, you're just adorable. But man, it got angry.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it got really angry, and for good reason. And I would say to everyone, hold on to that anger and don't lose it.
It's a gift.
One of the things that authoritarian regimes like to do is lull people into a sense of semi-normalcy before they start enacting their shit.
Hmm.
So, you know, don't let yourself be lulled into complacency. Keep an eye on Donald Trump and what he does in the next few months, because it will basically spell what he will be doing for the rest of his term.
Yeah.
And call everything out.
Mm.
Yeah. Call everything out.
As loudly and as repeatedly as you can.
Yeah.
And if some people end up unfriending you on Facebook, well, that just means you're doing it right.
Yeah. Squeaky wheel gets the grease, so you better start squeaking.
Yeah. Mm. And also, there was another article I wanted to bring up on it was published on The Nation. And it was called Anti-Fascists Will Fight Trump's Fascism in the Streets. And basically what it is, it was written by Natasha Leonard. And basically what it is it introduces basically modern Americans to basically what, you know, folks in Europe have known for a long time, which is on the street anti-fascist action.
Mm.
Because you cannot go up against fascists and try to use the sort of liberal appeal to reason.
No.
Because fascism doesn't operate on reason. In fact, it is irrational by its very nature.
Yeah.
You cannot just have little chants and pickets. You have to physically get up in their faces and confront them.
Yeah.
I mean, straight up run their asses out of town.
Yeah.
Damn right.
And, you know, sometimes you can do that with just shouting. Sometimes it takes pipes and knuckle dusters, but you have to do it. Because if you don't, then they basically
get free rein.
Yeah.
They get free rein. They sort of basically like a barnacle. They just, you know, attach themselves to wherever they are, and then they start spreading.
Yeah.
And remember that this is these are groups who do not need to operate or do not even want to operate on mass appeal.
Yeah.
They want people who are actively going to go out and kill.
Mm.
And they will do it.
Mm.
So, you know, this type of sort of, you know, we've always had the Ku Klux Klan. We've always had neo-Nazis. We've always had those types of douchebags here in the United States before.
Yeah.
Always had them. And just as we had to do with the Klan back in the old days, just chanting and picketing and trying to be polite doesn't cut it.
Hmm.
And I know that's a hard thing to hear. And it's a hard thing to understand. Because, you know, a lot of liberals, they want everyone to just play nice.
Hmm.
And I understand that. But there's
honestly don't have any use for those kinds of liberals.
Yeah. It's the wishy-washy liberal douches that drive me fucking crazy.
Mm.
You can't
hearted pieces of shit.
Yeah, and you can't do that with fascism. That type of American type of, you know, liberal do-gooding doesn't work with fascists.
Mm.
You have to physically confront them, and there's nothing you can do about it. You have to.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to put yourself on the line to chase them out.
Mm.
Make it clear that they are not wanted and that you're really willing to do whatever it is you have to.
Mm.
You know, they just ask any folks who, they were, like ask any like British, veteran of World War II and tell them what you have to do when you're confronted with Nazis.
Hmm.
Because remember, they, if you lived in London, you were on the receiving end of a lot of Nazi bombing.
Yeah.
Those guys didn't go away when people had a nice little picket.
No.
No, they actually had to pick up guns and tanks and planes and basically chase their asses back into Germany.
Yeah.
So in the coming days and months, the alt-right has thought that they were emboldened by Trump's inauguration. But if you've paid attention to what was happening today, you'll see that basically wherever they showed up, Antifa was there to chase them away.
Hmm.
And that's exactly what you need to do.
Okay.
Don't be afraid. Don't make you think that it's un-American.
Hmm.
It is probably one of the most American things you can possibly do. Both of my great-grandfathers fought fascists in World War II. Those guys actually were shot at by these pricks.
Yeah.
Fucking up Nazis is part of our national identity.
Hmm.
Yeah. And it should be yours if you are a believer. If you believe in the concepts and the goodness of freedom, democracy, equality, egalitarianism, justice, all of the things that has made the modern Western world a good place to live, then you have a moral imperative to fight them wherever they show up and chase them back into the sewers they crawl out of. And don't be afraid. You are not being un-American. Opposing them does not make them go down to their level. You're not just as bad as them.
Yeah.
If you try to shut them down. That is, again, that's that wishy-washy liberal bullshit.
Hmm.
Because, remember, there's a big difference between what you're trying to do and what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Okay? You are trying to chase back some groups who want to kill Jews and minorities. They want to kill Jews and minorities. You're not on their level.
Yeah.
You're nowhere near it. So do it. Don't be afraid. Chase them.
Hmm.
You're not doing anything wrong.
No.
You're doing your moral duty as a person who loves freedom. And that's all I'm going to say about that. So our quick little penultimate thing before we get on to the last thing for our show. As we all know, of course, Barack Obama, as of today, is no longer president. He is now a private citizen again.
Yeah.
But he hasn't stopped his work. He has started he's got a new website called ObamaDown.org with the Obama Foundation.
Yep.
He's got a nice little thing to, he's starting his own group. He's getting ready to continue his work.
Yep. May not be the cornerstone of the opposition, but it's going to be a major player.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that Obama is probably going to end up like Jimmy Carter.
Hmm.
Whatever problems he had during his presidency, and God believe me, there was a lot of them,
yeah.
He will ultimately try to redeem himself as a private citizen.
Yeah. So.
And he probably will do a lot.
Yeah.
Now that he's a private citizen, it also means that he won't have to...
campaign.
Yeah, he won't have to campaign. He won't have to rein his shit in.
Yeah.
We will probably start seeing a very different, much more open Obama in the coming months.
Oh, I can't wait.
Oh, I cannot.
Obama unfiltered? Yes, please.
Yeah. So we've got that. All right. So, with all that, I just wanted to, before we wrap up our show, I wanted to talk a little bit about my nice little adventures I've been having on the subreddit Ask an American.
This has to be good.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so are any of you guys familiar with this particular subreddit?
Not this particular one, but I know there's a series of these.
Yeah, I know there's an Ask a Canadian
as
well. So basically what it is It's a subreddit where people who are, you know, non-Americans, you know, you can be Europe, of any other country, and sometimes other Americans asking about other folks in a particular state to ask a question about your about America. Hmm. And some of them are fairly general stuff, like, okay, you know, what's the you know, what's the weather like in your state, for example? Like, there was one recently, a person like asked, is the whole sort of, you know, does the whole concept of wait, the weather changes every three hours, you know, is that true in your state?
Yeah.
And for the record, I've been on the subreddit and participating in it, and for the record, don't look for me. I'm using an alternate name, so you won't find me. But you know, obviously I live in Georgia, and, you know, you guys have known Lee longer than I have. He can tell you.
Wait 3 hours.
He should have been here tonight.
Yeah,
the weather in Georgia is notoriously unpredictable.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it doesn't help that we're having to deal with La Nina this year. Yeah. And, which basically means that we've been having really, really moderate winters. Yeah. It was in the low 70s today. It's the middle of goddamn January.
There's a problem there.
Yeah.
Yeah, here it's been a lot of rain where it gets warm enough in the day for any snow to melt. At night it freezes.
Hmm. Yeah.
Which means there's a lot of potholes.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
Potholes that destroy cars. I've seen two that had to pull over because they're axles or on the case of one, the left rear tire just popped off.
Yep.
Which I was driving by, I didn't know what happened, and I saw this tire rolling along the middle barricade.
Yeah. Hmm. Oh, by the way, before you panic, just so you know, we have to deal with this shit like every decade or so down here. Yeah. So
that's every winter
for us. Used to it.
Yeah.
But then you'll get stuff like asking about some really heavy stuff like, do you think that states have a right to secede? Mm-hmm. Now, for the record, that question was asked by someone from Connecticut who is an American. But the really big one I got to recently had to talk about stuff like healthcare, welfare state. So they asked, like, okay, what would happen in the United States if you really didn't have insurance and you couldn't afford it?
Hmm.
Now, I went through the sort of, and for the record, it got like over 200 replies.
Hmm.
And I went through each of them, and they all go from the spectrum of, it really sucks, we need some sort of universal health care plan, guess whose side I was on. Hmm. To shit like, well, I'm a very strict constitutionalist, and I don't believe there's anywhere in the Constitution that allows us to create some sort of universal health care. We have plenty of charities here. We Americans are not stingy. We're very giving. And the bad stuff that you hear about is very few.
Hmm.
Can you take a guess why that would piss me off?
Oh, so many reasons.
Yeah. I have said this before. That American exceptionalism shit drives me fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And also that strict constitutionalism stuff is bullshit to begin with.
Yeah, if people were so strict on the Constitution, there probably wouldn't be 400,000 amendments to it at over time.
Yeah,
just saying.
Well, there's also the fact that, you know, in the original Bill of Rights, we have the Ninth Amendment. You guys know what the Ninth Amendment is?
That's one of the ones that conservatives aren't too thrilled about, if I remember correctly.
Okay, actually, you know what? I've got my pocket constitution from the ACLU, and I'll go ahead and tell you what the Ninth Amendment is. Yes, thank you for that. I signed up for it.
Mm.
All right, hold on. It's the here we go. Amendments to the Constitution. First 10 amendments ratified on December 15, 1791. All right. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Do you guys know what that means? It basically means that, you know, all these freedoms we have put in here are protected, but it also but it doesn't mean that other rights and freedoms that are not explicitly stated within these amendments are not protected.
Yeah.
It specifically was made open.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as of their time, as a lot of the founding fathers were, they were also smart enough to realize that times change and they needed to make enough wiggle room for the future.
Mm.
Which is what most of these assholes don't recognize.
Yeah.
And then there was this one dude who was talking about, like, I don't know if we have room for this, and I'm using this his quote, this land of liberty that we have created for ourselves for universal state health care. And then, of course, you had the shit like, you know, why should I have to pay for someone else's health care? There's one douchebag talking about how he thought taxation was theft. And it was really just going
through. That's when you're getting into the whole sovereign citizen thing. That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And really the thing is, going through this subreddit, I really started to realize that we Americans have a serious cultural problem that we need to fix. We need, and I really hesitate to use this goddamn phrase, we need a cultural revolution.
Okay.
I know, I don't mean it that way, but you know what I'm talking about.
It, you take the two words, find them in the dictionary, put them together. Yeah.
It's pretty much the only ones you can use. Mm. We have this sort of cultural problem of fuck you, I've got mine.
Yeah.
Yep.
That is rife throughout America, and we need to do something about it.
Mm.
Stat.
Yeah.
Before it kills us.
Yeah.
Now the good thing is that the younger generation doesn't really have this problem.
Mm.
The younger generation, the quote unquote millennials, tend to be a bit more altruistic and egalitarian than, say, the baby boomers.
Yeah.
And their children. But just now, for the record, I want to point this out. You'll find out there's a lot of folks on here who are pretty much beat the stereotype.
Mm.
They're very intelligent. They're very willing to, you know, talk to, you know, to admit faults with their country, admit that there are things from other countries that we could use here.
Yeah.
And then you have those guys who don't think there isn't a damn thing wrong and that everyone else are just a bunch of crazy commie lovers.
Yeah. You see a very wide spectrum of personalities.
Yeah. Yeah. I had someone who, you know, there was one thing on here where they asked, you know, what do Americans think of Canada? And one of the things that you'll hear brought up is they think that Canadians have a superiority complex. Really? Because well, not necessarily how you think. They think that Canadians are really smug about the fact that they're not American. You know, there was one dude, he moved up to, I think, Toronto, and when they told him, you know, he was originally from America, everybody would basically say, well, it's safer up here now. I mean, they're right.
Yeah.
But
can't deny facts, really.
Yeah.
It's not fake news.
Yeah. And there was one guy on there who basically said, you know, he said the exact opposite. He said, I'd have a lot of friends who are Canada. I think Canada is awesome. I think Canada is something we Americans can aspire to. Canada is sort of like America 2.0. And I love Canada and everyone in it, except Alberta. Fuck Alberta.
Valid.
And I think quite a few Canadians would agree.
Well, you gotta go to Calgary for the Stampede, though. That's freaking awesome.
Yeah. I have one dude, actually. There's another dude who actually brought up the idea that he would support the concept of a greater North American Union.
Hmm.
You know, basically the United States, Canada, and Mexico basically becoming one country.
Yeah.
Or a single federation. Now, see, I actually would not.
Not at all awkward right now.
No. For the record, I actually would not have a problem with that.
Hmm. Could work.
You know, that would actually allow greater movement between our three countries. our economies would definitely improve.
Yeah.
But there'd be some serious cultural problems we'd have to deal with first.
Yeah.
It's really funny when you realize how, because of all the countries in the world, the United States and Canada are probably two of the most similar. And yet Canada has just enough differences that walking up there is kind of like walking through a dreamland. You're not really sure if it's reality anymore.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look, all these hamburgers, and we got hamburgers, and we got French fries, and what's why is there milk in bags? what world have I landed in?
Hmm.
Yeah. So, for the record, if you want to start getting involved in the Ask an American subreddit, if you're an American or if you have a question, actually recommend it, because I'll be honest, we Americans need to be more in contact with people outside of our own borders.
Yeah.
And to see what it's like outside of our country. Because we Americans have a tendency to be navel gazers, and pretty much our consciousness kind of ends at our borders.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to see what the rest of the world is up to.
Yeah.
Because, hey, the rest of the world, we're the rest of the world. We got some awesome stuff.
Yeah.
Want some?
Except North Korea.
Fuck you. We're America. But, all right then. So
this is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah.
Before we sign off.
Yeah.
So we talked earlier about things that have been scrubbed off of whitehouse.gov.
Yeah.
One thing that hasn't was something that President Obama had implemented when he took office. That was the ability for citizens to enact their own petitions on whitehouse.gov. And, you know, when it gets so many signatures, it'll get, you know, executive consideration.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Trump got his first one.
Yep.
A call for him to release his tax returns.
Yep. And how many signatures has it gotten so far?
When I signed it was, I almost put it right up to 600K. Or no, 60K.
60K?
Yeah.
So
what's the amount that it has to get first?
100,000.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty much well on its way now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get there in a couple of days.
Yeah. Well,
it'll get there tonight.
Probably.
Considering that was
yeah. And for the record, take advantage of that as long as that's still up there. Because
it'll get scrubbed.
Yeah, if Trump can do it, he will. So take advantage of that as long as you can.
Oh, in the time it took me to reload it, it's up to 67K.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I think we got a show.
Yep.
With that, of course, I have been your host with most, Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Sologi. I would like to thank all of you for listening in. As you know, you can contact us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. If you have a question or comment, we will be more than happy to read it on air and answer it. And, of course, you can hear us on iTunes and a bunch of other places. And with that, it's a new era in America. God help us all, and good night.